Psalm chapter 91, if you will, if you'll find your place there in the scripture. Let me just give you a few other key thing updates or whatever. Seeking the Lord's direction in that. We do plan to have our regular services, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There'll be some other things that maybe can get changed or put aside or adjusted a little bit. We've already mentioned what's going on this week. Something else is Palm Sunday is April the 5th. So we're not going to, we had scheduled the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, April the 5th. Last few years, we've been doing the Lord's Supper in the morning service. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to take and move that out on the calendar to June the 7th. That's when the next Lord's Supper is. That was in the evening service, and then we'll do the Lord's Supper in the morning on June the 7th, and that'll move it out there. So Nicole Mila is aware of that, the deacons, Dave Banning, and those that are working on that. So be much in prayer for that. We talked about some things that just kind of being a little bit aware around here. If somebody's sick, they probably should stay home. If somebody, you need to take cautions on how you handle yourself coming and going. I share with other people, probably on a Sunday, I probably wash my hands probably 10 times, have for 45 years. It's just a pastoral habit I've had. I shake a lot of hands, and so I always wash my hands in warm water and soap for a good 20, 30 seconds or whatever. I've always done that for 45 years, so nothing's change for me. So if I'm out shaking somewhere a lot of hands, the next place I go usually is by one of the restrooms or whatever and wash my hands, and then try not to touch your face. So you want to make sure you don't do that. So just use some common sense around here. One of the things we'll do is wipe certain things down. I know I sent an email out this week to all the staff and the deacons, and some have volunteered to help on that. If you want to help on that. For example, I think every Sunday when we come in here, Peter and Janet and those volunteers that come and clean do a great job. Frank Barrett's been coming every week. Polly's been coming in. Kathy Ludwig's been coming in. And they'll clean on Mondays, and then Peter and Janet different times through the week. But we need to take extra precautions to make sure everything in the bathroom, going in and coming out, all the door handles on the way in, all the way out, and all the building is wiped down and sanitized. The back of the pews, a lot of times people will get up out of the pews, they'll reach the pew in front of you. So these all need to be wiped down after the Lord's Day on Sunday. And we have to be careful what we use there so we don't strip the wood or whatever. But those need to be wiped and cleaned off. And just some common sense, wherever people use their hands or touch something, and that we need to do that. So we might have a few weeks of this. We try to do all that as much as we can anyway on a regular basis, but I think just some extra precaution would be wise to do. It was good to see this morning in church John and Carlotta Damagala back from vacation. Every winter, John and Carlotta go to Marco Island. They go down there and stay for about, 6, 7, maybe 8 weeks or whatever. They've been down there February and here in March, and they just got back home today, and some of you maybe don't even know who they are. But they faithfully attend church on Sunday mornings. John has a company, a consulting company. John has spent 41 years in what is called he has a company. It's called Discovery and Development of New Infectious Disease Agents, and he's done and it's really well. It's really the anti-infective drug design and development. And you can look him up if you're not aware of this. John Damagala here is pretty famous in the scientific world, the chemistry world, has a PhD in chemistry. He's done major work with the pharmaceuticals, Warner Lambert, Pfizer, Pharmacia Upjohn, is it, others. He spent 41 years in the pharmaceutical industry. He's still in it now only as a consultant and with some of these companies. And so I asked him this morning, I said, John, so what do you think? You're hearing everything and seeing everything we're seeing. He shook his head at me. He said, Pastor, it's being blown way out of proportion. And that there's a lot of panic going on. A lot of the media is hyping a lot of stuff. And he said, I've been in this business 41 years. And he said, and I said, so what do you think's pushing behind this? And he said, you know what? He said, I really believe it's an attempt. They've tried to bring down an American president, and that for with the Russian thing and then with Ukraine thing and with that. And he said, I really believe that what they're trying to do is destroy the economy in an election year, and they're trying to go after a U.S. president. And now I understand the president was out today and making comments. He comes out, gives updates on things that's going on. I see today the feds lowered the prime or the lending rates to zero or like 0.25 or whatever. I mean, that's a move on short-term lending rates, which means you're not going to get much on your savings accounts. But it means if you have a mortgage or it's going to mean a lowering of rates for that. My son works at Quicken Loans down in Charlotte, North Carolina. He said, Dad, the rates are so low right now. He said, people, Quicken Loans, which is a Detroit-based company, is being flooded right now with refinancing. The rates are so low right now. It's a good time to buy if you want to get an extended loan or a long-term loan on real estate or whatever. The rates are extremely favorable right now. So I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, this has an element of being real. I think we just need to exercise wisdom, but I do think this, we ought not to live in fear, and we ought to follow our faith, and we ought to live, trust the Lord, and pray. And the president has made today a national day of prayer. There's probably a lot of things going on you and I don't know about and probably don't want to know about, and that we're going to trust the Lord through all this. But I do know around the country, I have friends all over the United States, pastors that pastor other churches, and there are churches right and left that have canceled, some of them up to 3 weeks out, some farther out, and I think a lot of people are in panic mode right now, and that. So I think we just need to be wise in what we do, and be careful in what we do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I went to lunch today, I was thinking about this: how many houses of worship sat idle today in America, and that. And so, matter of fact, I even had somebody on the way out the door this morning said the Catholic Church down here didn't even have services today. So it's challenging times we're in, without a doubt. And so I thought no better place to go than to Psalm 91 tonight for our Bible study. And I'd encourage you to live day by day your faith. Be wise in what you do. Be careful in what you do. What'll be interesting is to see what goes back to normal tomorrow, whether it may not be. I don't know. And we'll just see what one day at a time unfolds. It's living by faith, trusting the Lord, and that. And so when you look up Psalm 91, I think it's a great place in the Bible. This psalm, I just could not get this psalm out of my mind when I was thinking about all that was going on this week. It has been, like Ron said, a very interesting week to be able to live through. And that. And so this psalm describes really God's ongoing sovereign protection of his people from the ever-present dangers and then the terrors which surround humanity. There's a lot of people right now in the world living in terror of not knowing what's coming. I mean, I just got a little bit of, I didn't think it was that bad until Nate and I, Friday, we went to the store. She wanted to get a few things, so we went. And when I pulled in, the parking lot was packed. And you had to park clear out the end, walk in, get inside, and it was just like a run on everything. And then all the cash registers were backed up. I mean, every register was backed up for a long way. And I said, good night, look at this. And that's what made me sit there and think, can you imagine the panic when the Lord comes back and Jesus comes back and the rapture takes place and the believers are gone and churches are empty and things are going on and the panic is set? If this is some panic that goes on a little bit with our world and our society, one thing we need to keep in mind, God is still in control and God is still sovereign and he's still on the throne. And this psalm, I think, helps us to understand that. So let's take a look at it, Psalm 91. It's a psalm that I think will help us to understand that God's ongoing sovereign protection, his hand of protection, is on his people, whether it be Israel of old or whether it be the church today, and that we can realize that in humanity there's going to be things that are going to happen. I would not even have, I don't understand all that's taking place. I have a lot of questions. Sometimes I hear something or see something, I'll think, is that true? Is it not? What do you believe? What do you not? You got to be wise and use some common sense, but at the same time, I think we need to understand that God is ultimately in control. So look what the psalmist says in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, and thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, and because he hath known my name, he shall call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So Psalm 91 is a great psalm. You know, when I think about this, this morning I asked John, I said, tell me in your expert professional opinion, when do you think all this is going to be over? You know, that was kind of my curious thought, is how long are we going to have to put up with all this going on? He said, tell you the truth. He said, it's as aggressive as our government has been, the CDC, and all that's going on. He said, I think it's going to be short-lived and so what you'll see. Now, I don't know. That a lot of what I'm hearing on the media is the exact opposite of that, that this could go on into the summer and for months. And I'm just taking it from somebody that's worked in the field for 41 years and has a pretty good knowledge of what's going on. He said, I think it's going to be more short-lived than what people think it is. So whatever it is, realizing this, that God's sovereign hand of protection was upon Israel. So the original setting here in Psalm 91 may be that any army about to go to battle, and most of the terrors mentioned in the psalm are left undefined, so no doubt intentionally here, so that no kind of danger here is omitted and from the application. Doesn't really lift the dangers and what it is. You know, we live in a dangerous world. There's a lot of things out there that's going on. And so believers, and I think, and really, no matter whether it's in Israel of old or today, the church, the believers in every age can read this psalm, and then we can learn that nothing can harm a child of God unless the Lord permits it. So unless God allows it, even with all this taking place and what's going on right here, what's only going to happen is what God allows and permits to happen. And that with that, you know, one of the things that I hear that they're not talking as much about, people that have contracted this coronavirus and they had it, but then got through the quarantine period, come out on the other end, everything's fine. So, you know, sometimes if you listen to some of it, it sounds like the end of the world and that. So I think we need to be wise in how we look at this and how we, realize. So in every age that God has His hand. So in light of the references here in Psalms, let me give you kind of the outline. Verse 1 to verse 13 really deals with here, these first 13 verses, the Lord's protection, God's protection. Which there's three schools of thought here. Number verse 1 and verse 2, on the confidence that you and I can have in the Lord. Verse 3, 4, 5, and 6 is the dangers that exist and whatever the terror is, which is not described here. And then in verse 7 to verse 13, examples here that he gives. And then the pledge. I like the pledge, and we'll look at this in verse 14, 15, and 16 and think about that. But look in verse 1. It talks about the secret place of the Most High. That's the intimate place of divine protection. And the word Most High here for God emphasizes that no threat can ever overpower the Lord. Nothing can ever supersede that which God can handle or knows about. And so when it talks about the Most High God, the most powerful God, our Creator God, and so none of this takes the Lord by surprise. I mean, we might be surprised by it, but when he talks about the Most High God here in Scripture, would indicate here that God emphasizing that nothing can overpower the Lord and nothing can catch him by surprise. Notice here it talks about in the shadow in verse 1 of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty in a land where the sun can be oppressive and dangerous, a shadow was understood as a metaphor for that which is care and that which is protection. When, you know, you think about it, when you and I go outdoors or whatever, if you're in the direct sunlight or whatever, that's one thing, you bear the heat of the day. But you find as you then get under something, a tree or whatever creates the shade, it gives you some relief. And that from that. So here, when it talks about the shadow, you need to stay under the shadow of the Almighty and realizing that God's protection, His hand is always there. And the psalmist makes that very clear when he opens that up. It's really a metaphor here in the Bible for God's care and then God's protection. In verse 2, he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. A refuge is a place that you go to find, protection. A refuge is a place that you go to stay, to be protected from the enemy. The fortress would indicate that which is strength and that which is protection. So he indicates here, the refuge and fortress, my God, in Him only will I trust. So we need to trust in the Lord and realize it's going to be, in a lot of ways, it's going to be for a lot of people, I think, a real test of their faith. And that to be able to be tested from time to time and realize that God ultimately has everything in control and He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God, and Him only will I trust. But notice now in verse 3, he gives us here in this, in the first couple of verses, we talked about here the confidence in verse 1 and verse 2 that you and I can have in the Lord. Verse 3, when you look at it, notice now he says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. What an interesting word here, the snare of the fowler. A fowler traps birds, and here the metaphor represents any plots against a believer intended to endanger his life. You know, I don't know. I've not lived that long, but I've lived long enough to see and grown up under many presidents of the United States. I cannot think of another example in our American history and whereby such great effort is trying to bring down a president of the USA. I just, and you go all the way back and you think of some of the great presidents we had, and I really believe that there are some things, no matter what our president does, no matter what he says, and no matter how he acts or whatever it is, there are many that will take the opposite side of that no matter what it is. I mean, we saw today one of our Senate leaders make an announcement about the U.S. Supreme Court and supposedly even throwing a threatening comment out there about two justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. Where in our land do we have room for that kind of thing going on? So I really believe this. It really is a battle. In Ephesians 6, when I talked about that this morning, Ephesians 6, we really are in a battle between good and wrong, principality against principality. And this is a battle of spiritual things and the platforms and that we need to look at in America and to see here the challenges that we have. So this snare of the fowler is really just that. It's the metaphor used in Scripture that represents any plots against the believer intended to endanger his life. And, when you think about it here, it's... I don't know about you. Does that ever bother you? I don't know if it bothers you. It always bothers me when I see somebody burning the American flag, and when I see somebody saying death to America, and when I see somebody trample our freedoms and our choices and things around different hot spots in the world. I don't know about you, but that always kind of, I look at that and I think, oh my goodness, and the battle between good and evil rages on. So when he says here, the snare of the fowler, that's exactly what it indicates. Notice here, perilous pestilence says in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor, here it is, the word pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. The reference here and then in verse 6 is significantly to dreaded diseases, plagues, or epidemics. Let me give you some scriptures. This is not the first time this showed up. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 12, in Jeremiah 14, 12. There are other times in the Bible when plagues and certain things showed up and was allowed or used for a reason. Jeremiah 14, 12 says, and when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by pestilence. I don't know. You know, when all this is going on, I'm looking at it, and I was at lunch with some folks today, and I asked one of the guys there, I said, do you think that under the sovereign hand of God, if God is omnipotent and God is sovereign and he's all-powerful, is there a reason maybe why you think God is allowing, permitting, or whatever stuff like this to come into humanity? I mean, a lot of this is just, you know, is terrible. And then the other day, and I don't understand why, but I'm looking all over the world and looking at the places where all this has hit our world, and Africa seems to be the least hit. Europe has been hit hard. Asia has been hit hard. America now is getting hit hard. When you look at the continents and you see as it spreads out, and I don't know, I don't have an explanation for that, but it caught my eye and caught my attention. And I wonder why they're in Africa, the least exposure to all this. And so when you think about it here, there have been times in the Bible that God has used certain things of judgment for different reasons in the land and the country. And you remember that when Egypt, down in Egypt, when Israel was getting ready to be let go and leave the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, that God did what? God began to bring judgment after judgment, plague after plague upon the, why? To show that he is God and that he is in control and that he is on the throne and it's not Pharaoh and he's going to let my people go. And it took it all the way through those 10 plagues, right down to the death of the firstborn before finally Pharaoh said, you can go. Let me give you another one here. It's interesting when you look in the Bible. Go to Ezekiel, over to Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 12. So there have been different times in the Bible where pestilence or great things have happened and for whatever reason in Scripture. And you look at Ezekiel 5 and in verse 12, a third part of these shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. And then in chapter 14, verse 19, Ezekiel 14. And you get down to, verse 19? Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast. So we do know in the Bible there's times and references made of pestilence coming into humanity for a certain purpose and a certain reason to accomplish something that God feels. Now you say, well, then did God design stuff like this? Did God say? I'm not saying that he did that. I'm saying he allows, he permits. Could it be stopped tomorrow? Absolutely. If God chose to do so, he could put a stop to it. It'd be all over tomorrow. So I don't know. I mean, only when you get down farther in history and you look back and you see what's taking place, and then you try to put some common sense to it, and once all the truth comes out of exactly what's going on. Look in verse 4. It talks about under his wings. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. So pictures here the protection of a parent bird, and that you and I are under the divine protection of the Almighty. Let me show you something else. Go back to Psalm 57:1. You and I are under God's wings as we go through and as we navigate through this. Psalm 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. There's a good verse to hang on to. And that we'll stay under the wings of the Almighty until even these calamities, this too shall soon pass. And in the meantime, you stay under the Lord's protection and ask for his divine hand upon what we do. And in verse 5, he said, do not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the pestilence. In verse 6, that walketh in darkness, 1,000 shall fall by the side. And you know, when I think about that in verse 7, talks about, you know, how many have died. I don't know the exact number now, whatever it is. But you know, it was interesting because John and I were talking back here this morning, and he said, do you know, on the last situation, he said 1,000 Americans died before it ever really became a public issue. And I didn't go back and I didn't dig into all the other things and the previous stuff that has gone on. He was just mentioning some things and thinking about it. But in verse 8, it says, only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And so the righteous are so safe in disaster all around them that they are only the spectators. By that meaning, when you look around, it's no fun looking around seeing all this going on and that. So yeah, the biggest thing, my daughter, she texts me, she calls me, she's, Dad, the kids are out of school for 3 weeks. Can you believe it? And she goes, what am I going to do with the kids at school for 3 weeks? I said, I don't know. Go have fun. Go outside and play. Go whatever. And she goes, well, I'd take them to do this, but you can't, and, you know, because of the restrictions here, restrictions there. And so when you think about it, down they're taking precautions everywhere. I mean, my son-in-law works for J.P. Morgan Chase. And he's a financial advisor and has four banks and people coming to him. And J.P. Morgan Chase the other day told him, he said, Matt, you got to work from home. He said, I can't work from home. He said, I got clients and that want to sit down. The stock market has a lot of people right now on the edge of their seat. This has been a major pullback. If you're watching your 401ks and your IRAs, there's a lot of people out there that are concerned. So when you think about that, Matt says, and J.P. Morgan said, no, you got to work from home. We want to make sure that you're safe and you're not out there in the public. He said, I can't do that. He said, I've already got appointments lined up for the next 2 weeks to meet with people on financial issues, and I got to meet with them up in Saginaw. He says, so he said, I've got to meet with you. You just can't do that over the phone or over whatever. There's people making major decisions on what do you do in times like this and that. And so it's interesting. And that when you look at it, look in when you go on here, verse 9, verse 10, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And then in verse 11 and 12 kind of go together in this. This verse 11 and 12, this is the promise of angelic protection. Here was misquoted by Satan in his temptation to the Messiah. Remember this? He said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Remember that over in Matthew 4? And when Jesus was tempted, where did he pull that quote from? Right here in Psalm 91 and verse 11, verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, unless thou dash thy foot against a stone. You can take a look at that over in Matthew 4 on the temptation of Christ. So when you look at it here in verse 13, it talks about the lion, the cobra, and says what? Thou shalt tread. And when I look here, you know, at this part of it, the last part of it, is really the Lord's pledge. And you get towards the end of the chapter here, but verse 14, his pledge, because he has set his love upon me, therefore while I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So here's what the psalmist says, and interesting to this, is set his love upon me. God himself is the speaker in this section, verse 14, 15, 16, and here in this part of the text. And he describes the blessing that he gives to those who know and love him. You and I know him, we're to love him, and to put him first. And to realize here the word love means a deep longing for God or a clinging to the Almighty. And so you and I are to cling to him and to love him more and more, even in the middle of stuff like this that's going on. Notice the word long life in verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, no matter what's going on in the world, and no matter what, I was a little concerned about Norma Ibach because she's really gone through some major stuff. And I mean, 6 times in and out of the hospital since January. That's a lot, trying to get the heart regulated and everything and all that's gone through and that. And so, you know, one thing, though, is for sure, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the health circumstance is, no matter what the coronavirus thing is or whatever it is, we only will leave this world into eternity when it's God's timing. That we can rest assured of, no matter what's going on. So when God says it's time, then it's time. So he says here, long life was a specific promise to the Old Testament saints for obedience to the law, is what it was. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and Proverbs chapter 3, the prophets also promised it to God's people in the future of the Messianic kingdom found over in the book of Isaiah. So God has a lot to say in regards to this. And so really what we find here is the protection, the sovereign hand of the Lord. God is in control. We just need to learn to trust him. And no matter what unfolds day by day, we live by faith. We go through the week by faith. There'll probably be some things that'll shock you along the way and will alarm you along the way, but we just need to realize that God is in control and we can have absolute confidence and trust in him. So go back and reread Psalm 91. I thought we'd take just the last 5 minutes or so we got here and kind of wrap up and Let us go. You know, the president asked today for a national day of prayer, and I think that's important that we do. Christians are praying all over the country. We know 2 Chronicles is true. We talk about that verse in here, Brother Ron does, or I do, or whatever, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land. And that. So I think a lot of it comes down to prayer and us seeking the Lord and honoring Him, putting Him first, and that. And so I thought maybe tonight we just close in prayer with two or three of us praying. And I'm going to ask Brother Tony, if you would, to stand and lead us in prayer, if you would, sir. And then maybe Brother Paul Tacy sitting here in the center. And I don't know, we'll get somebody. I'll close in prayer over on this side. So if you'd lead us in prayer tonight on this National Day of Prayer, and then Brother Tacy, and then I will tonight, and we'll close the service.
Families that are currently
Heavenly Father God, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Lord's Day today that we can come into your house and worship you. God, we have much to pray for, much to be thankful for, your blessings and your goodness to us. God, we just commit and claim Psalms 91 as a chapter in the Bible that we can cling to and hang on to and understand your divine sovereign hand upon our lives, upon the church of Jesus Christ, and be with our churches around the country and the nation, be with the believers, and God, that just through all this, you'll give our president wisdom and those leaders that Vice President Pence and those at the CDC and the decisions that need to be made going forward to keep the American people safe and through this process. God, I know this is a global thing going on. And so, God, we're going to trust you and be with our missionary families that are serving in Asia and Europe and down in Africa and South America and around the world, God, that you'll have your hand upon them, keep them safe also. They deal with a lot of different issues. This situation is worldwide and global. And so, God, we just thank you for our missionaries, and we just pray your protection and your sovereign hand also being upon them and their churches and their families and their representatives there and the believers in Christ. And God, we look forward to this week. Give us a great week, and help us to day by day live out our faith and trust you one day at a time. And God, thank you for the blessings of the day. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Good to see you tonight. Have a great week.